welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My guest today for this special Christmas show is Tanika Reinhardt, an extraordinary psychic and visionary, international speaker, author, and world-renowned expert on biomagnetism. Over a 16-year period, Jesus' spirit communicated through her, and many people from all walks of life had the opportunity to ask Jesus questions. These questions and the answers were just published as A Question for Jesus, that is the basis of this interview. Two comments on her book evaluate it very well, and read, "Much wisdom is shared, and a unique experience and understanding of Jesus, his life, and his passion is gained." The other states, "You will feel uplifted and your life redirected toward wholeness and peace." Tanika has also worked with the ill in her clinic using PowerPoint therapy and hypercell therapy, and is completing a master's degree in clinical hypnotherapy and psychotherapy. More information on Tanika can be found at www.tanikareinhardt.com. Because of the length of the interview, it was necessary to remove the section on 2012. You will find the whole interview, including this section, on my website at www.holistichealthshow.com. It is my pleasure to offer you this interview with this very special person. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Tanika.
Thank you.
And I look forward to hearing some previously unknown information about Jesus.
Well, I look forward to sharing it with you and your listeners. It's actually really beautiful, beautiful information.
Thank you.
Very empowering and very beautiful.
Right. I received your book last night, and I had a chance to look through it, and I agree with you 100%.
Thank you.
Now, before we talk about questions for Jesus, will you tell the listeners a little bit about you and how you got into this work?
Yes, I will. It started when I was 31, the awakening, as I call it, the awakening into spirituality, I guess. I'm now 53, and the awakening occurred because I'd had a fight going on in myself, a fight where I was denying what it was I was made to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say I knew what I was made to do. I just knew that whatever I was made to do was going to be very, very, very different. And I didn't want to be different. I wanted to be normal, because up till then my life hadn't been normal due to a colourful childhood I'd had, for want of a better word. And I really wanted to just to be like everybody else, just to have a normal life and be like everyone else. Well, of course, what this did was it had me denying who I actually was. And of course, I didn't know who I was.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to be something that I could create myself to be, and that would be just normal. Be married, just have children, be a productive member of the community, and that's just about that. And this one particular day occurred where I knew I couldn't fight anymore. I was at the crossroads where, if I carried on this internal fight, my life would be ended. And if I succumbed to whatever I was made to do,
mm-hmm.
then maybe my life would be saved. But remember, I didn't know what I was made to do. So I sat down in my bedroom this particular day. I'd had three children by then. And I'd called upon Archangel Michael. This is a presence who I was introduced to some 2 years previous. And I would find, by working with this energy in my clinic, I run a clinic as well, that's another story, that if I called upon the Archangel Michael's energy, I could ask him to surround people recovering from alcohol or drug addictions or that type of thing, just to surround his energy over these people, so that for 3 days the person would see what their life would be without their addiction, how good it would be. And it always worked. It's quite fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew this energy existed. Also, I had physical manifestations of this energy. So I was in no doubt this energy existed. So I'd sat down and I'd said, right, okay, I'm now going to listen, because I wasn't listening. And I sat down and I'd asked for Archangel Michael's presence to come, and I felt his presence come close to me on the left-hand side. And I said, okay, I'm now saying I'm just ready to do whatever it is I'm meant to do, figuring that I would be inspired
mm-hmm.
to do whatever it was I was meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, it could be cleaning toilets out for the rest of my life. I did that in my early teens.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that I'm meant to open a kindergarten. But I'd be inspired. I knew I'd have some inspiration because I'd completely surrendered. So I wasn't looking for a spiritual link or anything like that. I was looking to do whatever it was I was meant to do. And with that, the whole room, my eyes were shut. It was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And it was like the whole room began to shake.
Mm.
With the immense energy that was pouring in. My heart, if I'd have looked down at my chest,
mm-hmm.
for sure I felt would have been almost shooting out of my chest.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, Carl, and to everyone who's listening, I was absolutely petrified.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a fantastic holier-than-thou experience. I was absolutely petrified. I thought I was going to die in the process,
mm-hmm.
but I had surrendered, and I thought, well, okay, I know Archangel Michael's here, so if I die in this process, then that's how it's meant to be, you know, because I couldn't fight anymore. I couldn't carry on down the road I was going, because that was ultimate death, but I didn't know what was on this other road. I just didn't know, but I had completely surrendered. Well, of course, I'm here speaking to everyone, so it was obvious I didn't die. But what happened was, it was like something in me was opened up, not just to a spiritual realm, one spiritual realm, one spiritual being, to one guide, one path. It was like the universe had opened up completely the whole caboodles
mm-hmm.
inside of me. And I found that everything then in creation was able to speak through me or come through me or make some type of communication. We're going from the person's individual angel to archangels to the different deities in different religions, whether they be Hindu, whether they be Greek mythology, Roman mythology, whether they be historical events, whether they be archetypes of power animals, spirit animals, or the different elementals, or the different energies of planets, constellations, just absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, this was quite wonderful, to say the least. Because there wasn't anyone quite like how I was operating, I began to think I must be going a bit mental, a bit mad. So I took myself off to some parapsychologists in the hope that they would declare me insane. But that didn't happen. They actually said, no, you're you know, probably the most psychic person they'd ever come across. The word psychic, I kind of like to obliterate, and I just say, well, I'm awake.
Right.
Because I am awake. It's generally probably most people are asleep. I just happen to be awake. I truly believe, Carl, because during this process, I found I was able to time travel through wormholes, which are scientifically and mathematically proven.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can time travel through wormholes, you see historical events as they actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like watching a movie, but you're there in energy form.
Mm-hmm.
And I do write more about this in the first book, Journey Home,
mm-hmm.
and it gives all the scientific facts that go along with
mm-hmm.
the time travel. Now, I believe that every single one of us has this ability in us. I truly believe this. And I believe when everyone can actually do this, well, of course, you have to clear your baggage out first, your mental and emotional baggage, because you can't go through a wormhole heavy. You have to go through light and spirit, and you can't choose where you go to. You just have to be open to whatever wormhole is coming in. But there's more on that subject anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then you travel back. And I believe when everyone can do this, when they can finally do this, they will be able to access history and observe it as it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be no more wars. There won't be no more confusions. Everyone will see what happens, because all wars and all that happens because people actually don't really know what went on.
Right.
But when they actually see, feel, and experience what went on, then we don't have any more of that. Now, a good question to ask is, before I go any further, mm-hmm. is how, which is one which generally is asked, how do I know that I'm coming from a pure source?
Mm-hmm.
How do I know I'm not being affected by negativity? That's a good question, isn't it?
Right, right.
Well, I had this answer come through, and I write about the full experience in Journey Home. But I've devised a process because of the experience that I had. The head, where the ego is, where the will is, where the I want to do good is,
mm-hmm.
is that's all in the head. And I never trust that. I never, ever come from the head. I never trust a guide either to give me information.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have travelled into the astral realms, and I know that although we have guides, guides also learn from us as well. It's a two-way thing. It's like the figure eight on its side. It's the universal flow. They're learning from us, we're learning from them. So the point is, because they're learning from us as well, I can't put all my responsibility on to them to say, well, look, hey, Francois or whoever's up there, am I coming from divine will at this moment in time,
mm-hmm.
from the central source of God or whatever anyone calls it? You know, I just wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that the bones and the blood have no intelligence. They do not possess ego. There is no intelligence in the bones and the blood. They are very, very, very pure. Hence we have the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so only when I get a certain sensation in my blood and bones do I allow myself to go under,
mm-hmm.
only then.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for all the listeners to know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd met this particular chap, this is going on to a question for Jesus, I'd met this particular chap who had been studying theology.
Mm-hmm.
And as I understand it, theology is a study of all different religions and the truth of what mm-hmm. went on. And he booked a private channeling session with me. And so I'd gone along and I said, well, look, we have to realise that we can't say who we'd like to come, because I've learned you can't do that, because if you do that, you limit universal flow, divine will, God, you know, you limit that, because
right.
you're putting your will over what is meant to happen for the benefit of that person or of the planet or of mankind as a whole. So you can't do that. It's because you'll just pick up something that's not what it's meant to be. So I always warn people of this first anyway. And up to meeting this chap, I had never had in my body someone who's had a life before.
Mm-hmm.
I'd always had discarnate, is that the word?
Right, yes. Mm-hmm.
The spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And wonderful as it was, but I'd never had someone who'd very wise, old being, fantastic. But I'd never had someone who'd had a life before. Now, how the session works is, before the spirit enters or the energy enters, I'm sitting cross-legged on the floor. I've gone through my process and I've attuned myself to my blood and bones to see if I've got this sensation going on. And when that occurs, a big belch comes up. It's like I get gas. And it comes up. I never get gas, but it comes right up. And this big belt, it's almost like my body is making room for this spirit to enter, so
mm-hmm.
it gets rid of all this excess gas.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, as they say, Cole, better up than down.
Right.
And it certainly is when you're in that position. Anyway, this big belt comes up. And then what occurs is my head is very gently pulled back by an unseen force. but it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's twisted from side to side. And it's like my will then steps out of my body, which at this point is the car. And it steps out and it takes the seat in the back.
Mm-hmm.
So I can observe and feel everything that's going on. But what I can't do is have control over what's going on. Okay, just so you see
right.
all that mm-hmm. happening. So this occurs, so all this happens, and then the spirit enters my body. And generally, when the spirit or the energy enters, they get used to how my body works and the mechanisms of it, and then they generally bow very low to whoever's sitting there, and then they introduce themselves or whatever they are, and then the people will say welcome, and then they start talking,
mm-hmm.
obviously,
mm-hmm.
and ask the questions. Well, on this occasion, this didn't happen. What actually happened was the energy, the spirit, very gently brought my hand very, very slowly. It took about maybe a minute, maybe 2 minutes. Very, very gently brought my hand up to my face and very, very tenderly touched my cheek.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized what the spirit was doing was remembering what it felt like to touch and be touched. And then I realized that this spirit had had a life. But I still had no inkling as to who it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then the spirit raised my hand up to my hair and began to feel my hair and was remembering the texture of hair, how hair felt like. And I was, whoa, it was absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously I can feel everything that the spirit's feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then lowered my hand down and took a deep breath in and introduced himself and spoke and said he was the Master Jesus, and then bowed down very humbly to the guy who was having the session.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first connection. Of course, there were lots more after, but that was the first connection that was made.
Mm-hmm. Tanika, there's been a lot of discussion recently about the relationship of Mary and Jesus.
Yes.
And some people have gone so far as to say that Mary was one of the disciples who was portrayed in the Last Supper.
Yes.
Can you tell us about the relationship of Jesus and Mary?
I'm doing it from memory. How they use the words are absolutely beautiful to describe their relationship. Now, whether Mary was or was not at the Last Supper, I've also seen from Jesus' memory the Last Supper, and I have to say I didn't see her there.
Mm-hmm.
When Mary also came through, there's her offering in the book as well. When she came through, a question was asked about her relationship with Jesus. I'll actually do her words because they really are very beautiful. So Mary introduces herself, and then she says, "My name, when I walked upon the soils of many lands, was known to all as Mary of Magdalene." And I realized by her saying this that it wasn't Mary Magdalene. Of, when she used the word of, it showed that this was the house name or the family
mm-hmm.
name.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Mary of Magdalene. So that was a nice bit of
right.
historical info coming through. And Mary says, "I come because there is much speculation of my existence. And so I come to answer what you may wish to ask." And the question was, once someone asked, "When did you first meet the person known as Jesus?" And Mary answers, "My life before I came into great wonder of such a true being of God was somewhat of a slight dark. My path was lost, but through the words that were spoken to my heart, I became found. I washed away all my old way of living, and I became the consort of the man you all hold in great wonder, as is now, as was then. And Mary indicated that Jesus was revered by many people as he was then.
Mm-hmm.
When she said was dark, she was in a place where she was lost, a lot like people are today, in a
right.
lost and
mm-hmm.
lonely place, and that's where she was. And then the next question was, did you actually marry Jesus? And Mary says, my life did not dictate that I could marry. I was cast aside from all who felt I was unclean, and so it was not permitted for us to marry as such.
Hmm.
But, and she says this in great joy, but for a very short while our lives became as one. And with her hands she motioned how she joined, you know, how they joined
mm-hmm.
together.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next question was, and did you conceive children from Jesus? And Mary said, my life with the most wonderful man in all of creation could not be blessed with children. I became barren because in my youth I was in a very dark time where there was much abuse. And so to have born a child was not within my destiny. Now, from this, I could see from Mary's memory
mm-hmm.
that the abuse was some type of perhaps physical attack
mm-hmm.
that had left her internally damaged.
Mm-hmm.
After all, she'd had been a lady of the night, for want of another word.
Right.
And most likely at the hands of Romans, and because it was Roman rule at that time, and there wouldn't have been contraception or there wouldn't have been protection, and she would have been, I'm not saying she didn't have children, but she didn't have them with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because by the time she was older, you know, by the time she'd got there, she was at least 30-ish, and she was damaged. And when she says cast aside, because of how she was seen as dirty. There was
mm-hmm.
a lot of judgmental going on in that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where she was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And the next question was, how long did you stay together? And Mary said, we joined for full 2 cycles. And this is what they call years.
Mm-hmm.
A cycle is a year. And it was before my great love passed. Now I shall depart.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were together before
mm-hmm.
Jesus passed. Now, when Jesus came in, someone had asked him a question about, was it perhaps frowned upon that you had this relationship with Mary? And his energy went into completely, shocked is the wrong word,
mm-hmm.
but I guess stunned, for want of a better word, that anyone would even question his relationship with this most wonderful
mm-hmm.
person. From where Jesus was coming from, here was this lady who had been abused at the hands of many men, and yet in her she found it that she could still love a man.
Mm-hmm.
And he found that absolutely incredible, that how she could love after being so abused and put aside, not only the people, but by a lot of men, and yet still love a man. Within her love for him, he found a lot of hope for mankind. It was really quite something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, it really was very, 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 very beautiful. And he answered it in such a way. And you could really feel his absolute honor that he had for her love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really quite lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's Mary.
Now, Tanika, little is known about Jesus' early years, especially his adolescent period.
Yes.
Can you fill us in a bit on that area of his life?
Yes, I can. There is very little known, particularly from when he finished traveling with his uncle. He actually went traveling an awful lot with his uncle,
mm-hmm.
Who was a merchant, and they would go to different lands. And Jesus learned an awful lot of the way different people perceived things, religion, natural things, all this, by the different lands he visited. So his learning wasn't done by the book. It was done by observing how different cultures existed and what their beliefs were and how they came to things.
Mm-hmm.
And he always puts this was the greatest time of his life because this was the most expansive time because he learned so much. He learned a lot about people and existence and creation just by listening and observing.
Mm-hmm.
And he did this because he was fortunate enough to travel with his uncle. And when he then had come back to his lands, he was quite a wild chap. He was, and he'll tell you that himself, he had, he would like a drink, just like most people do. He sowed a few wild oats, and this is probably going to shock a lot of people. He did have children. He had four, not all with the same person. He had three relationships with three women and four children.
Mm-hmm.
This is not written about at all.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's why it's not written about, because he was quite a loose cannon. But he needed to, he always said, when I walked this earth, I walked as man, as brother. And he always said, how can I understand mankind if I didn't live as man? He was no greater or lesser, and he emphasizes this all along the way. Anyway, so that's really how he spent his adolescence. When he finally got the wake-up call, he went off then to study with a religious sect that really taught him an awful lot. But he broke away from them after he realized he wasn't learning anymore. He found that even within that religious sect, there were limitations, and he found his spirit was becoming limited, and that didn't feel right, so he broke away. And that's when he really came out into the public eye and began preaching and teaching. And it wasn't that he actually preached so much. In the time that he was living, it was quite a dark time, in so much that the religions, they really offered the doom and gloom situation, hell and damnation, and
mm-hmm.
that type of thing. And they operated greatly from a lot of fear. And it seemed to create even more fear in people. Whereas with Jesus, he had a lot of common sense. And he could speak to people's hearts. He could see that what the priests were talking about just didn't compute with what he had learned through the different countries he'd visited and learned as a child,
mm-hmm.
a young person. And from observing everything on an awakened level, he was already awake when he came in, and it was just not computing. So he would speak on this level of common sense, and I hasten to add, a being once told me through a channeling session, and I call common sense the sixth sense,
mm-hmm.
after what this being said. People tend to say the psychic sense is the sixth sense. I say it's common sense because this being once said common sense is a sense uncommon to man. And I thought, yeah, that's right, it's actually the sixth sense. Well, Jesus had a lot of common sense, and he taught this, and it would go straight to people's hearts because there wasn't fear in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
It would go straight through, and it made sense to them. So, of course, he was getting lots and lots of followers because he just spoke so clearly. He was very passionate. He's a very fiery character and very, very passionate. Very, very passionate. He actually, there was a question once asked about the stoning. Do you know that story about
mm-hmm.
when he stopped
mm-hmm.
someone being stoned? And a lot of things that were asked, he actually would either say whether he did or whether he didn't do. But I'll read you this story about the stoning, which really shows the type of character that he was. And here we are. There was a story that you came across a person that was about to be stoned for adultery and that you stopped this happening. Can you explain how you did this? And Jesus said, "The story you talk of was a story that occurred many times. Many occasions, people would choose to slight others that they felt had performed unrighteous acts of existence. But the people who chose to pick up the stones with all their hearts threw their pain and distaste of their own life towards the sufferer. And so I would say, take that stone, hold that stone, and crush the stone with your own fear for not believing in the light that emanates from your soul. Only a person in immense darkness could do such an act to slight others. And so, no one wanted to be in darkness. They wanted to believe their magnitude. So quite simply, they aimed their fear into the stone,
mm-hmm.
and their hearts crumbled, and they became free."
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to read that, so it's quite, you know,
beautiful.
it shows a little bit of the type of person he was.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, next question, Carl.
Well, we always think of Jesus as the Son of God, and
yes.
were they always connected during his time on earth?
No, they weren't. In fact, the darkest time for him was when he went off into the wilderness for the 40 days. And what happened was, it was when he was getting quite a following, and he was talking a lot of sense, and people loved it, and of course, everyone was getting good vibes, everyone was happy, you know, it was good times,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, he was having a nice life, and he was enjoying this. He was enjoying bouncing off people and vice versa. But what was happening was there was a bit of a grey area in him because he was enjoying it a bit too much. He was enjoying the adulation. You know, you can't blame him for that because
mm-hmm.
he was a man. And this was nice, but it was creating this grey area in him. And this grey area started to become stronger and stronger and stronger. So finally, it was consuming him, and he took himself off into the wilderness, 40 days. And he took him there because he had become so separated from God, he'd become in such a dark place, and it was by being in this dark place that he couldn't feel or experience God, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And he became lost, he became confused, pretty much like a lot of people do these days. And so he took himself off into the wilderness, and the battle he had with his demons was he could go out, he could have an easy life, he could be revered by all these people, he could be well respected with all these people, or he could succumb to his destiny. He could, you know, this is what he could do. And he knew that as much as he wanted to be and enjoyed being revered by people, he couldn't go back on that path.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the 40 days. He had to battle his own ego and come back and then really become the person he was. So we could say, well, people were listening to him anyway. He was doing a jolly good job, wasn't
mm-hmm.
he? You know,
mm-hmm.
he was making sense. People loved it and all that. But it wasn't as much as that. His life was because we have Jesus and then we have what people call the Christ light and the Christ energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the Christ light and the Christ energy is a very powerful healing energy. And it was ultimately the task of Jesus. He didn't know this, but it was ultimately his task that as he died, this particular energy we have now called the Christ energy, it didn't have a name as such then, would then be ignited into the planet, a bit like a lightning bolt
mm-hmm.
hitting the planet. He was a catalyst for this energy to enter the third dimension,
mm-hmm.
into the planet and into the hearts of everyone. This is what happened. So this ultimately was his task, to do this. His task wasn't to preach and teach to people. He knew this internally. He knew it was much more than this, but he didn't actually know exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew he had to... Things were hotting up and he had to stay focused. And so that's why ultimately he died on
mm-hmm.
the cross.
Mm-hmm. And what was his life purpose while on Earth?
Well, his life purpose was literally to ground this Christ energy. Also to teach that what there wasn't separation between man and God. There's mm-hmm. no separation at all. In fact, when I'm talking about the Christ energy, this energy, if you can see it as, Pete, you have a plug and a socket. Now, for the plug to receive the energy from the socket, you have to plug it in, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You have to do a physical thing of actually plugging it in, and then, hey, presto, you've got it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Jesus' purpose was. He was the plug, and the socket was the whole of creation.
Mm-hmm.
And then what came through creation, and then Jesus, who was the plug, was this incredible energy that was then grounded into the planet,
mm-hmm.
which we have called the Christ light.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time, the planet was bathed in immense fear and immense darkness. It was very, very bleak. I mean, we could say, well, why doesn't God just come along and put the light there? It doesn't quite work like that. You know, we're spiritual beings. We're just borrowing this body just for a short space of time.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the third dimension. So if we want things to be grounded into this third dimension, there has to be a physical act that goes across.
Mm-hmm.
It's really quite simple. So you could touch someone, you can get a lovely spark from them just by touching them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there has to be this physical interaction.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a physical thing that's occurring in the third dimension. So that's what Jesus' purpose was, ultimately, to ground this incredible energy into the hearts of everyone, which has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I know whenever I'm working with somebody, I'll actually always say, okay, let's ignite this Christ light in this person. Let's wake it up. You know, it may already be woken up, but I tend to do that anyway. That's what his purpose was. And also, as I say, to teach there is no separation. Now, I was going to tell you, I went to Bethlehem many years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I was fortunate enough, you're not supposed to stand where I stood, but somehow I managed to do it, stand where you're not supposed to stand, and it's where the crib was put, and you have to go down something like 6 stairs, it's all chained up, you're not supposed to get in there, but I did, and I thought, okay, let's just see what's down here, and when I stood there, it was like I'd gone back 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
There was peace, there was calm, there was tranquil, and there was no separation. And then when I was called out, because the guard came along, and I stood back up, it was like so much hustle and bustle and confusion that was occurring in the 20th century, because this was the previous century. All this confusion going on. Well, what happens is, in this Church of the Nativity, where you can go, there's all different doorways for different denominations to enter. So when the Catholics are gone, then the Christians come in. When the Christians have gone, then the Muslims come in, and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that came through was, nothing has changed in 2,000 years. This is what he came to teach. And at his very birthplace, there is still this huge amount of separation. Nothing has changed.
Right.
And it was like, when are we going to wake up?
Right. An interesting question you had, Tanika, in your book was, how would Jesus like to be remembered by people today? Can you tell us about this?
Oh, yeah. This was a really nice, it's the final question, but it's a really nice one. I must tell the listeners this. Here we are. Okay. Oh, I'll do two. Shall I do two?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a nice one. If you had, once again, an opportunity to address mankind, what would you like to tell us all? So Jesus said, I would simply say, remember all the wondrous things that you are individually capable of, the silent gifts that you do not speak of, the deep lovings that you feel for one another. I would say, remember always you have life. Each life supports your neighbor, and your neighbor supports your life.
Mm-hmm.
Do not empower yourself by casting aside your neighbor and your light. Even when you doubt everything, do not doubt your ability to breathe. For your breath contains your light and your right as part of God's kingdom. And when your spirit finally leaves your physical body, know that you are merely beginning once more in greatness.
Mm-hmm.
You will live always. And then the question was, how would you best like to be remembered? And Jesus responds with a deep outward breath, as if he was saying, do I need to be remembered by mankind when we are all equal? That was his actual response.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, you ask how would my essence like to be remembered? But I say, how would you like to be remembered? Would you like to be remembered as one who suffered? Or would you like to be remembered as the very source of light and hope, not only for yourself, but for all mankind? If each one of you all remember in your spirit, you individually contain the very source of light and hope, for then you are set free.
That was beautiful. Now, can you tell us about what Jesus said about what we call heaven, and also about what we call karma?
Well, karma only exists on the earth plane and the astral realms. Astral realms are where we have guides. And as I've already said,
mm-hmm.
guides are there because they're also learning as well from us. They can see things a bit more clearly, how they'd maybe do things a bit differently by observing us. So they learn from us as well as we learn from them. And also, to a certain extent, ego exists in the astral realms. So karma only exists in the astral realms and the physical realms.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't exist beyond that. It is a self-imposed law of judgment. It's not one that is put on by God, creation, or whatever. It doesn't judge us at all.
Mm-hmm.
For example, sometimes when there's somebody sitting in a wheelchair, people will say, oh, well, perhaps it's karmic. Well, no, not quite. If someone's sitting in a wheelchair, then often they have to use their senses of observation far more heightened than what we have who are walking from A to B and rushing around and living 1,000 lives in one without actually living.
Mm-hmm.
So they're observing a lot more than what we're busy doing. So who's to say that that person has not pulled the ace card?
Mm-hmm.
It's not karma. Karma is what we do to ourselves. It's how we judge ourselves. It's if someone gets an illness, and Jesus explains it a lot more clearly,
mm-hmm.
if someone gets an illness, it doesn't mean it's karma. For goodness sake, you know, the human body is still evolving. It isn't completely ace yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, we're still having to adapt with different frequencies. And the earth, which is a living organism, when it's fed up with our ways and all our bombarding and pollution and all that, well, what the earth will do is erupt and give us a mighty tsunami or an earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
Been here a lot longer than us and will survive long after we've gone.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just borrowing the body to understand this dimension. Once we've understood this, we can then move on to another dimension. We're evolving the whole time. So karma, it is the personal judgment that we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people will meet other people, maybe have affairs and say, oh, it's karmic, we were meant to be in all this. Well, it's actually, it's a word that is so misused,
right. Mm-hmm.
Because people like to just have a cop-out. So, oh, it's karma, it's not really my fault, it's karma, it's karma. Well, no, and with a lot of illnesses, well, the fact is, you're either in the firing line and you happen to get doused with something, or the body needs to evolve more. Your spirit is just borrowing the body. What people think is that they are their body. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
The body's going to be food for the next cherry tree. That is not them. They are their spirit, which is endless. And this is where the confusion comes in.
Now, what's interesting is that our concepts tend to separate, whereas Jesus' responses tend to bring us together.
That's right. That's right. The whole time. And he emphasizes this the whole way through. Someone asked a question. It was quite an elaborate, highly intellectual question that came from a high up religious book of some sorts, I don't know what. And Jesus answered the question. But then he looked at the questioner and he said, "You have read many books, but have you ever read yourself?" And Jesus wasn't a person who studied with the pen. He was too busy traveling to do that. He didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But he studied everything. He was so awake. He studied how everything fitted into cycles and ways of being. Everything. Everything was as the tiniest leaf, the way that would spiral from the tree.
Mm-hmm.
That he would study all of this. He was completely awake.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tanika, can you tell us the most important thing that you learned from this experience?
Oh, yes, there is one. Well, a question was asked to Jesus when he was sitting in my body, and the question was, it is said on the cross when he was dying, you shouted out, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Do you know that saying?
Right.
Quite a saying. Well, at which point, he quickly put my arm up midair and halted the words before they entered his being. Halted them.
Mm.
Have you ever seen the adverts where they freeze frame water and it doesn't go anywhere?
No.
Stopped midair. And everything in that room went silent. Everything went still. And finally, he put my hand down and he simply said, "I choose not to acknowledge these words." And of course, I could see what's going on because I've got, you know, and I can say it because I'm not Jesus, you know, I'm me.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say it, so it's like, okay. But the reason he didn't acknowledge those words were because, first and foremost, he never said them.
Mm-hmm.
And if he'd have said, "Well, I never said them," or words to that effect, he would have been acknowledging them by simply stating that.
Mm-hmm.
So by not acknowledging them, it gave them no power.
Oh.
If you acknowledge an untruth, you give it power.
Mm-hmm.
It's really as simple as that. So by not acknowledging this untruth, no power was given.
Mm-hmm.
So I learnt that truth, real truth, does not need defence. You either get it or you don't.
That's beautiful.
But it doesn't. I'm not talking about the court of law when you have to go and defend something. It's totally different. But real truth, real truth, and this is not, you know, people say, "Well, this is my truth," or "This is your truth," or "This is that truth." Well, that's just a convenience. It's just like just where the person's at that time.
Right.
You know, I'd describe this a bit more via a beam of light.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get up to the very source where all the truth, where true truth comes from, there is no "this is my truth" or "this is your truth." It's just truth.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't need any defense.
Right.
But when people say "this is my truth," "this is your truth," "this is all that," it's like if you imagine a beam of light falling, right? You've got the light, and then the actual beam is, or the actual light bulb. We'll use a light bulb as an example. Mm-hmm. Say about I don't know, 4 inches. That's about, I'm not good on centimeters, but I don't know, it's probably about 20 centimeters or something, maybe a bit less wide. And then the beam it hits is over the whole room, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the beam, which is probably, say, 500 centimeters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there'd be maybe 500 truths, right?
Right.
On that bottom beam of light. As you go up, the circumference is lessened. It's maybe 400.
Mm-hmm.
You go further up, it's 300. Then 200, the higher up you go, till you go so high, You can't even look at that. You know it's there, but you can't look at it because it's so bright, because everything's condensed in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real truth.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I like this very much. Now, can you tell us, Tanika, about your books and your services?
Well, my book I only wrote because so many people said you really should write these down. And I figured, well, I'm not actually a writer as such. But I did pen them all myself, and the first book I actually did in longhand because I couldn't crack a computer. And I thought, well, perhaps these will only get published when I'm dead, because they are quite, well, I wouldn't say they, some people say they're challenging. They are quite beautiful. But I just think that they'd be published when I'm dead. I write pretty much as I talk.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody who's read, particularly Journey Home, because that was the first one, always say they think I'm actually talking to them, because I do write as I talk, and they're really, really good, because it explains all the lessons I had to go through that actually enabled me to do A Question for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it at the moment. And you can get them on Amazon.com. I think you have Amazon.com.
Yes, right.
in the States. Mm-hmm. They'll be in various bookstores in the States. I guess you'll be able to order them in if you know the ISBN number or whatever, which I don't have to hand. But if you go on O-Books website, www.obooks.co.uk, and type in my name, which is Tanika Inar, then you'll get all the info up there, and that will give you all the details. The other services I do particularly deal with my clinic practice, which I run a clinic over here in the UK, and it's really dealing with the electromagnetic field of the human body, realigning that, and I deal with illnesses and muscular skeletal problems. That's on my website, which is www.tanikarinar.com. There isn't anything about my books on that website,
mm-hmm.
simply because the work is scientific as well as spiritual. And my aim is to bridge the gap between the sciences and the spiritual. And the reason the books aren't on there is because some people really can't handle the spiritual side.
Mm-hmm.
And so I keep that pretty much separate.
Oh.
I don't do personal readings, mainly because I work very much on a planetary situation. But I have been over to the States to do talks, so I'm
mm-hmm.
happy, you know, I've done a lot of workshops, which I love working with groups of people. So eventually, who knows, if the call is there and there's lots of people that are wanting all this, you know, please put your name forward via the website. There is a contact for me on my website, and I'll keep that by, and if I get enough response, then I may just well pop back over to the US.
Great.
Because I love everybody over there. You are just so lovely. Here in the UK, people are very stiff and starchy. You know, fine in France, fine in Italy, Australia, Spain, Malta, India, all those places. But in the UK, I don't know. I'm not sure why. People find it very difficult to smile too. You know, it's quite odd.
Well,
anyway.
I found the people very friendly in England when I...
Just because you're American, we love America.
Oh, that makes the difference.
Because you're always happy and... I'm always happy and smiley. You know, I go around smiling and everything. If I even bump into something, I've even known to be apologised to lamppost, because I think it's automatically a person, and I'll just say, oops, sorry, and then realise I'm talking to a lamppost. You know, but generally people here are quite suppressed. But yeah, it's true, you know,
mm-hmm.
people's faces light up with Americans. They do, yeah, we do like our cousins over the pond.
Well, I've appreciated this very much, Tanika. It has been very enlightening for me, and I know it's going to be enlightening for my listeners.
Thank you so much, Carl. Thank you.
And thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I thank you for joining me on the Holistic Health Show tonight, and I wish you a very merry holiday season. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, host of the Holistic Health Show.